talk a minute before I read the text. If you want to be seated, we'll stand again. We read the text if you want to. If that'd be all right with you, just be seated and I'll let you stand when I get ready to read my text. I find myself unworthy to stand here. I find it's a great, great privilege to come to old-fashioned church. Am I on? Not on? I got punched. It's got a green light. Brother Milby and I go back a long way. It's a funny thing about my life. I've had a very variegated, multicolored life. I was saved in a big old dead church, great big church. It really wasn't probably dead when I got saved. I don't know. But it's running 800 in Sunday school and had three or four big missions running 200 and 300 in Louisville, well, right out of Louisville. Largest rural church in the Southern Baptist Convention at one time. And we had all the great professors from Southern Seminary come out and teach January Bible study and preach revivals, missionaries, great missionaries, good missionaries, really, preached to us, but somehow or another it didn't help me much. Went off, I said there wasn't much to it, went off in the military and got away from God. Came back and walked in a church with a chip on my shoulder. My wife asked me if I'd go to church with her and the girls. And walked into church that day and I had a chip on my shoulder. Had a job at DuPont. Is it doing okay now? Had a job at DuPont making good money, high top pay in Louisville. Putting money in the bank, driving Mr. Byerly's Thunderbird. I bought his Thunderbird. Nice car, eat steak every week, had everything I wanted. She said, "You go to church with me and the girls?" And it kind of made me mad. I said, "Yeah, I'll go to church with you. We'll go to church for a month and do everything they do and give God every inch, every last bit of a chance to bless me. And if he don't bless me, I ain't never going back to church." And I don't know if you know it or not, but I meant it. But I got to church that day and God done something to me. And I went there to fight and oh my, that night, something got a hold of me. Changed my life about 47 years ago. Well, you know, Brother Ken, this is what I believe. I talked to a young preacher last night. We had a great four-day revival. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. David Wells preached. I told him the other day, he said, "I don't know why I hang around older men." You know, there's a difference between all of us. We realize we don't know anything. Some of us realize we're just ignorant. I'm one of those guys. And so, if you get around somebody who knows something, then you want to be real quiet or they'll find out how ignorant you are. So I just was quiet around them. I'd get around somebody that was just King James, and I knew they had something about them that I didn't quite understand, so I kept my mouth shut. And I said, "Well, maybe I'll get over there one of these days." And I worked my way over to this pulpit right here. And that was a long journey. You can believe it or not, I went right there to Campbellsville College. Professor stood in that college, hated yellow chalk. Somebody had called him, asked him to renounce his unbelief, and they'd support the college. And that's when the college was in real financial trouble, and he could have helped them. I'm not talking about a rich man. And he came in that morning crying mad. You ever been that way? Crying mad, tears in his eyes, mad, foaming. And he said, "Don't speak to me about inspiration." He didn't believe this Bible was inspired. And spelled Jesus with his left hand in yellow chalk and said, "That's the only thing that's inspiration right there." Now, you know, it's a strange mixture, isn't it? Somebody to magnify Jesus and dethrone the Bible. Jesus is the Word of God, and God preserved the Word keep it to 1,000 generations. If a generation's 35, it's 35,000 years if you wanted to put time on it. Really what he's saying is, God, preserve that word. It's preserved forever. It's incorruptible. I mean, you can take it up to Southern Seminary and dismantle it, dissect it. When it gets done, it'll crawl back out of the mess you throwed it in, and it'll be a King James Bible for you. I mean, that's what that means. I didn't know that meant that, Brother Milby. I studied American Standard Version Bible. So, well, you're bound to be a reprobate. Well, I don't do it anymore. I have a King James Bible. I figured if I was going to stand in front of people and tell truth to them, I ought to know what I'm saying is right. So I just restudied everything I'd been told, and I found out I'd been told a lie. I had studied Elgin Moyer's book on church history. And it was built particularly for that school I went to. And I've noticed this, after I began to restudy everything, find out where I was supposed to be, I found out it said there were three schools of thought in the New Testament days. There was the Roman school and the Alexandrian school. Eastern and Western theology, and that's the Eastern and Western Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic is Western and the Eastern Orthodox is the Eastern. But they evolved to that. And then this is what Elgin Moyer said in his book. He said there was a third and more conservative group of folks, a theology centered in Asia Minor, and that's the last thing he said about it. I told a chaplain, he didn't believe in King James Bible. I said, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do, sir. You're going to stand in front of God flat-footed and naked and try to defend what you believe. Alone. I said, you're too ornery and lazy to go study to see if you've been lied to. That's what these guys are. They're too ornery. If I had to preach to one human, I'm going to have to answer to that human what I said to that guy. You know, James said we offend in many things all. He said, be not many masters. That means teachers or leaders. And he said, in many things we offend all. You know why? Because, Brother Ken, all of us preach, and in many things, we say so many things, we're going to miss it sometime. And we will offend people. He said, don't jump in this outfit unless you realize we're going to face a judgment for what we say. We are. And I call it such a privilege today to be invited by probably, I don't know. I mean, God is the sovereign. But Brother Milby and I are best friends. I couldn't ask God to have ever given me a sweeter friend. We got in that old truck. I don't remember what it was. He had called me and see if I'd want to go with him and do a piano. We went to Brandenburg. You remember that, Brother Milby? He would say, have you ever prayed in your preaching voice? And I always said, no, Brother Milby, I don't let nobody hear me pray. I don't want nobody to hear me. I still don't want anybody to hear me pray. I just tell him everything. My awful thoughts that I have to deal with. Do you have awful thoughts? Am I the only guy that has them? I just tell him everything. If I'm frustrated about what's going on, I told him the other day, he don't get mad. He didn't get mad at Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, you've lied to me. He said, you've deceived me. He didn't beat Jeremiah half to death over that. He understood that Jeremiah was frustrated with life. He said, you're going to win, and he's over here in mud up to his armpits in a pit. He said, where are you now? You know, I mean, you deceived me. So, I mean, that's what I do. I said, I don't pray out loud. I don't want anybody to hear me pray. I found out you can get in the car and drive down the gravel road, and you can let her fly, buddy, and then nobody knows what you said but God. I stayed in my pickup or my old Bronco sometimes 8 or 10 hours just wallowing in God. It's wonderful. You know, when we was going over at that old church and he was going to tune a piano and he said, oh, man, you ever pray in your preaching voice? And he used to not talk. He had lockjaw. He wouldn't talk to nobody. He's forgot that. But I ain't forgot it. And I said, no, I told you, Brother Milby, no, I don't do that. I don't want nobody to hear me pray. But it made me hungry to pray like that. And I remember the day I did pray like that. And I remember the day Holy Ghost of God was bigger than the room I was in. I prayed so hard I thought my kidneys were going to come out my sides. So I put my hands up on my sides like that, and I started, and I said, if I don't get up, I'm going to die right down here. I said, please don't leave. And he didn't leave. That started my journey up in this wonderful, wonderful cloud of glory. I had some bad days. And I'm probably the worst sinner in here as far as struggling with flesh and carnality. It's really in your mind. Keep your mind. And it's strange. This is strange. I don't know why I'm saying all this stuff. It said, resist the devil. You remember that? No. Resist the devil. You know what it says right there? It said he will flee from you. I mean, if you see a little rabbit out in the field, if his mommy's done her good work, when that hawk squeals, he'll find him a hole. He'll flee from that squeal. So it says there, now is the Bible right or wrong? It said if you resist him, he'll hit the road. It didn't say he'll drag off. It said he'll flee from you. It's simple, pretty simple. It can't work. You ain't tried it. That's why you think it won't work. It will work. And then he said, draw nigh to God. So just as soon as he hits the road, you just turn around right quick and say, now it's you I want, not him. And it'll work. It'll work. I don't know why I'm saying all that. I love y'all. Let me turn over here and read this text. And if you want to stand, respect the word. You know, I never do that at home. And I'll tell you why I don't. If you just use a lot of verses, you'd be up and down, hopping up and down every time you read a verse. So I didn't do it at home, you know. But you can look with me. At verse number 29 down through 32, I want to read the verse. It said, Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Rahul, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. That's what he said. We are journeying unto a place, the place, of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us. I really don't need to read no more, do I? But I'm going to. But why don't y'all jump in here and go with us? There's four or five or a dozen of you sitting here, and you're on the outside watching. Hey, I would go to church for the amusement. You know that? I love watching somebody get in the Holy Ghost. Get all wiped out. I like it. I'm going to tell you something. I've been a few times I didn't know what I did. I didn't know what I did. My daughter told me one time I was trying to climb the wall in the back of Concord Missionary Baptist Church, trying to climb on the electric bit thing on the corner. She said, Daddy, you was trying to climb that electric panel. I don't know what I was doing. I like to watch it. It is amusing, isn't it, to watch somebody do that stuff. Well, he said, we're going somewhere. And he said, come down with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, now this is what Hobab said. He said, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And so Moses, he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it will shall be, that what goodness the Lord will do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Now, if you'll just hold your Bible right there, I want to show you this. The outline, I'm not outlining the chapter, but in chapter 10, verses 1 down through 10, it tells about them trumpets. This is my study Bible. It's not my other Bible. This is my study Bible. So I write everything in it. So from 1 down to 10, it's the trumpets. And then from 11 down to 28, it tells how they're to march. So you can get all that. But they're getting ready to take off, and they want this Midianite to go with them. Now, Moses went down to Midian. Somebody called me the other day, and they said, Brother Wayne, do you know the oldest book in the Bible? Well, it's pretty, to almost every believer, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Where did Job come from? Who wrote that? Well, it's believed that Moses wrote that because it's a story that was given to him by Jobab or Hobab or Raul, his father-in-law, told him the story of Job, and he wrote it down, making it the oldest book in our Bible. So Moses probably wrote that book. But at any rate, they're friendly to the camp of Israel. And when they brought Israel, Israel's brought out, Moses brought him out. Hobab met them, brought his wife with him. He married a Midianite, brought his wife and children, and they met there, and they had a renewing as homecoming after these years of, maybe not years, but weeks of getting Israel out of Egypt. He met those friendly people, Let me pray with you. Father, I want to praise you and thank you today for your good love and grace. And I tell you, Lord, this church, these people don't have any idea of the journey that I've been on to get to here. And I probably made a lot of dumb moves. But to come here, no matter how long it takes, it was worth the journey. I would rather be in an old-time setting where people are worshiping in an old-time way. They said it's for the weak-minded. I guess it is. I'm weak-minded, and it's for me. I guess it is. I don't know. I've seen some pretty high-powered people get in it. It's for people who's got enough sense to know that this world is not our home. Somewhere in the end, we're going to fall off into another world or climb out here into another world. Better be making preparation while we're here. Thank you, Lord, for a place to come where God's still on the throne. Lord, help us. I think about my own country down there. It's church on every corner, literally every corner. There must be 200 or 300 churches in Whitfield County, Georgia, Lord. I don't know where you're in the lordship seat of any of them or not. It's pitiful. There ought to be one somewhere where you run it. And I want to praise you and thank you, Lord, that you're willing to run one if we'll let you. Pray you'll help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, the Midianites were also Kenites. And the Kenites, Jael was a Kenite that killed Sisera. She drove that tent peg through his temple. She was a Kenite. One time when they were going to attack a city down there, they filtered in and said, Kenites, get out of here. We're going to destroy this city. And the Kenites left. They were the Midianites. They were the kin folks of Moses. By marriage. And Hobab, they're all friendly to Israel. And Moses has asked him to go with them. And it looks like that he didn't go. They didn't go. But we know from history they did go. When the prophecy of Balaam, and that's a strange setup there. You can read it and study it for yourself. Balaam makes this prophecy. He said them Kenites are going into captivity with Israel. They're going to Babylon. They're going to be taken into captivity with Babylon. So they are filtered into Israel all up and down the land. They went into Canaan land right with Israel, and they were filtered in. It's a mixed multitude. There's no doubt of Egyptians in that multitude. Because those Egyptians were not all against Israel. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? It didn't take long. He found out who he was. And a lot of them people said, don't you know we're destroyed over this thing? They were on Israel's side. Get them, when they get ready to borrow that stuff to leave, hey, they were welcome to have it, buddy. They gave them everything. Get out of here. We'll give you anything. Just get out of here. do what God said, we can't take any more, you know. So it's a mixed multitude. Well, it may have been, you know, 600,000 men. So each man with a wife, and they didn't count the little boys, they was counting men from 20 years old and up, I believe, something like that, you know. And so every one of them, that's their, they have big families. Listen, that's their life insurance. That's their old age pension. 15 kids would feed them while they die. You know what I mean? They had no insurance. So they had big families. And it took care of them in old age. And God wanted them to. And if they multiplied, they'd cover the land. That's the way Christians ought to be. Control the size of your family, and the only ones that done is the Christians. All them scoundrels just have babies like rabbits. So now we got a land full of devils is what we got. But Israel multiplied, and so you had 600,000 men, and every one of them wants to marry, so you're going to say 1,200,000 people. And the last time I checked, a man and a woman married usually have children. So if you had one, now you got 1,800,000, or 1,800,000, or two, it's just growing, you understand? So it's a multitude of people that come out of there. And he stops, I mean, you listen to me a minute. To invite that man to go with them, there has to be the miracle of deliverance. You don't have anything, I don't have anything to invite one sinner in here unless I have been delivered and I know what I'm inviting them to. Amen. Oh, listen, there has to be a deliverance. I want to praise God, buddy, for the day that God saved me. If God would save you like God saved me, you wouldn't forget it half as fast as you have. If you could get as bad off as I got, and God give you relief, you wouldn't get over it in a few minutes. I didn't get over it, Brother Dale. I didn't get over it, buddy. Listen, I haven't got over it right now. I remember when I was locked down in sin. The song he sung means much to me, Brother Mills. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. Contrast and conjunction, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the water. God saved you like he did me. You'd have something to tell. That's why we don't have much to tell. We haven't been delivered. God deliver me. I want to bless our good Lord today he did it. Listen, I tell you, it was so real. I don't care how bad off I got, I still never forgot it, buddy. Sing a song, if I should live a thousand years, is it, or 100 years, I never could forget the day that Jesus washed my sins away. And you know something, I don't want to be critical. But I don't know how in the world anybody can say I haven't sinned. I don't see. I'm going to tell you, all you'd have to do is go to the dollar store. I'm almost positive they'd sell you a mirror for a dollar. I'm pretty sure I bought a tough couple of them. I'm just telling you that you ain't thinking, if you think for 1 minute, buddy, that you're not a sinner. Some of our Baptists are riding around saying I haven't sinned for a week or two. My heavens, what do you mean? One of my friends said it. He said that. And we were eating together. He said, what do you think of my statement? I said, I wouldn't make it with somebody else's mouth. So what do you mean? I said, there's stuff you do you don't even know you're doing. How could you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus if there wasn't some more place to go? So if you're going to invite somebody, he's inviting them. This is Moses now inviting them. And there's a reason for that. There has to be a deliverance. And then, there has to be a focus of attention in there. Moses saw God in everything they did. But as soon, listen, buddy, they didn't even get out of Egypt, Brother Ken, and they said, you have got us in trouble. And we're so sick of this life bread. Didn't they say it? They said it. We want some meat. What about some water? This bitter water? Nothing to eat? Manna? It was not some old sap out of a tree. Coriander bush is what's... That's what they teach down there. Coriander bush. And the heat comes up on that cool stem and it foams and it falls off the tree and they call it, what is it? Manna means, what is it? That's what it means. What is it? Well, it just sap out of that tree right there. Everybody says, well, I know this does it all the time. No. No, it come from a higher elevation than a sap out of a tree. Cause they cooked it in ovens. They made stuff out of it, buddy. You put that old sap in a skillet and you smell it for a month if you don't have some way of getting out. It's cooking stuff. God sent them manna. But they just complain. We loathe this light bread. You brought us out in here to kill us. Well, he did, really. He brought me out to kill me. Pretty nice dying too, buddy. Went down on one side and come up on the other. Wasn't no water deal either. Amen. Reason why Moses, hey, listen, it has to be an experience, a focus on this deliverance. You have to keep your mind on when you got saved. You got to keep your mind on when you need. Listen, if you didn't get saved like I did, you probably didn't get saved. If it's not with all your heart, what's the point? If you find some other way to get out of this thing, you ain't going to get saved like that. Had an old boy in my church say he made a profession. He did make a profession for something. He said, do I have to? I said, yes. He didn't get it out of his head. I said, yes. He said, you don't know what I mean, what I said. I said, yes, you have to. I never said, listen, when God saved me, Mike Neals, I didn't say, can I? I said, if you don't take it all, don't take none of it. I'm not doing this part-time deal. If you don't take it all, this thing is just like every other religion. It ain't worth a dime. If you don't take it all, don't take none of it. Is that how you got saved? Buddy, if you didn't get saved that way, you ain't saved. Nobody else is. God does not save on a down payment deal. Just buy a little now, dollar down, a dollar a week. Said, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart, Christy. It's got to be done with all your heart. If you didn't get saved because you had to get saved, you didn't get saved at all. This half business, I got saved 1 year and made him more the next. Shucks, you're crazy too. You didn't do that. Probably the most famous Baptist preacher in this United States, Jack Howell, said, he said, you get saved and make him Lord later. So he said, Lordship, made fun of him. So I just took my Bible. I said, I'm gonna look these words up. Even my preacher said, well, it just says believe. Don't you get a dictionary and find out what believe means. It means you gambled your life on it. It means sure, solid confidence. If you could just listen, here's what's wrong, Dale Rutholds. Here's what's wrong. We're dragging them off that tree green. They hadn't had a full dose of conviction. Hey, let them hang till they get under there. Hey, listen, that's what you got to do. I hope I'm all right. Here's what you got to do. You got to leave them alone till they get some bad off. They'll take anything. If you got them that bad off, you won't have to hunt them next week, buddy. I know it's right. I don't know it's good, but it's right. I'm just telling you, I know it's right. So you understand this morning, there has to be a focus of attention. Moses couldn't get over God. And you follow him all the way through there, all the way through that whole deal, back all the way till they buried him. God buried him on Mount Nebo. You follow him all the way, and his attention was, God has done this. Look what God has done. How can you build a golden calf? What have you done? What are you doing? Grab that thing up and swallow it. You can't do this. God is over and over, and their attention's on something else. Well, you know, we go up there because they let us get our groceries out of the pantry. Or, you know, every now and then we get in trouble. A preacher takes a little love offering, hits us. You better find something more than that, buddy. You can starve to death and go to heaven. But you might go to hell with your belly full. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just telling you, what's wrong with us, son, is we get to watch it just like happened to you guys, and you get to looking at that. Next thing you know, it's some kind of a derogatory thought in your mind about the God that saved you. The Bible said knowledge puffeth up. Now, they're always talking about me. Talking about me, knowledge puffeth up. Because I try to learn. Try to apply myself. I want to know if I'm preaching the truth, but I like to learn all kinds of things. Knowledge puffed up. But I'm going to tell you, wise, I mean, really, really not wise, real, real brain childs go to hell just like street rats. You know that? Education won't get you out of nothing. Nothing! If it does anything to get you in hell, buddy, what it'll do is puff it up! I never could understand why God would put that in the Bible, because you ain't never going to get relief by education. I got a good education, but I never got relief there. I got relief when I got down on my face and I crawled up to God and I said, if there's one speck of hope for me, grab it. I'm giving you everything. And he saved me. He saved me. And every now and then the clouds come over. But he'll break the clouds. It's my fault they come over. You know, I'm going to give you all the statement God gave me the other day. Boy, I tell you, our families go through it. You know that. All of them. And just go through the storm and the blast. I was on the altar, cleaned us up a couple weeks ago. And the Holy Ghost said this. He said, Wayne, when you go through these hardships, this is how I feel about it. He said, I look down at you and say, son, I hate to do this to you, but it's the only way I can straighten you out. You just tell me that ain't good, buddy. That didn't come from old hillbilly here, buddy. That come from somewhere else breathing in. That's as true as this ever was anything true. I hate to do this to you, but it's the only way I can straighten you out. I'll tell you, I can just quit right there and we'll all just have a good time. I thought about Job. Brother Sammy sat down behind me the other day. He's hoping our church pulls through it, and I am too. I got a burden from the church. I love that place. I love them. If you ain't never known the preacher that loved the church, you know one now. He sat behind me. David Wells preaching. He just leaned up and tapped me on the shoulder. He talks like Brother Crumpton. He'd talk to you while somebody else preaching. He'd talk to you. He tapped me on the back and he said, I turned around and he said, and the Bible said, and Job arose. That's all he said. And Job arose. Man, I started looking at verse. It's in chapter 1, verse 20. And Job arose. Then Job arose. And here's what he said to me. He said, old tabernacle's going to rise again. But I'm going to tell y'all something. That ain't what God said to me. So I resigned, see, as a pastor. Give me the word. He told me to resign. I can show you the verses. Five places he said no. I mean, I don't do stuff like that unless God tells me. Told me to resign. Then the Holy Ghost climbed up in there and said, I put you out to pasture. I mean, out to the green grass. You just waller around out there. Ain't going to be no good no more for nothing. Huh? That's what he told me. And he had me about pretty near convinced. Until Brother Sammy tapped me on the thing. He said, then he arose. Then Job arose. I said, I know Job. I saw him in the mirror this morning. I cut the hair off him. Holy Ghost ever says, I'm going to rise. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rise. He's going to do it for you too. So I run through the whole book of Job. He never did sit back down, but he got up and stayed up. 40 chapters, buddy. He stayed up, buddy. He stayed up. He stayed up, Christy. Just rise up and stay up. Tell it no. Just do whatever you're going to do. But when it's all done, I'm going to heaven. You're going to hell. No. I'm trying to get on over here a little further. So there has to be a deliverance. You've got no testimony to a sinner unless you've been delivered. You can't tell somebody how to get there if you ain't been there yourself. And then you cannot focus on this failure. If you do, you keep focusing on the failure, you're going to get this money grubbing going. Then you're not going to have any joy. And Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're not saved of money grub, buddy. If you're money grubbing, it is your mirror that's not done a good job. God don't want to get you down there like that, but if you ain't going to get where you belong, He's going to get you there, get you up. When you come out of it, you'll be just like Job. I heard, but now I see. You think God made him deaf when his eyes opened? No. Now he can hear and see both. Well, you know he can. You know it's right. So you got to get your focus right. I mean, Moses was right. That's why he's the one who invited Hobab to go with him. I mean, if you go over to one of them other guys, go get Korah, Dathan, or Byron. Come on over here and tell old Jobab what to do. Stay home, Job. Jobab, stay home, Jobab. God ain't never done us no good. It's old light bread. And just, we have to beg Him for water. It's awful. It's awful. We can't even worship the gods we had down in Egypt. He ain't doing us right. Don't ask those guys. You can ask Moses, he said, I saw him everywhere. The whole earth is full of his glory, what Isaiah said. I got so bad off one time, y'all ain't believing what I say. This ain't pre-recorded. I tell you, I didn't even know God's going to anoint me this much. I got so bad off, Brother Milby, when I was up at Bethel, when I'd drive down the street and see them telephone poles and in the cross like that, I couldn't contain myself. I said, he's everywhere. Well, after that happened to me, I said, he's everywhere. There's a cross. Everywhere. Crosses everywhere. All over the land. Telephone poles. Said, oh, it carries electricity. It sure does. It carries a telephone line. It sure does. It sure does. I didn't think about that. What do you think about that? When you get all messed up while you're preaching. It's got electric wires on it. Whoa! Glory to God. And hello! It's a party line. The whole other world's on it. I don't know where I'm going to go now. Let me see. Now, there's an addition, because we know the Kenites did do what Moses said. They came with them. But here's a bad part of this. The Kenites, as far as we know, never did become proselytes. A proselyte is somebody that changes to a Jew. He joins their Jewish thing. As far as we know, the Kenites never did get in. They just went with them. Is anybody with me on this thing? I wonder how many of our church members are Kenites. They like what's going on, but they're not in it. They just love to watch you shout, but there ain't one inch of it in them. Listen, you're going to do something. I'm an experienced believer. I believe that if you don't have an experience with God, you ain't got God. Now, it's probably somebody who don't believe that. If you can have God without an experience, then rosaries will get you God just like praying or any other thing.
That's right.
Counting rosaries and two Hail Marys. That's all that is ritual. Read this verse. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Read that? Yeah, I read that. You believe that? Well, it's in the Bible. I guess I do. Are you saved? I don't know. What's it say? You ever seen that done? That's why we got a bunch of Kenites. It didn't come out of their heart, buddy. It come out of their head.
That's right.
Yeah, he said the Bible's the Word of God, and God wouldn't lie. Well, surely I'm saved. Now try to get him saved. I can take you to a boy you couldn't a bit more talk him into getting saved than you can talk a devil into getting saved. Call somebody read him the verse. Well, it says it right there. Don't it say it? Did you do it? Yeah, I did it. Are you saved? I don't know. If you don't have an experience, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what anybody says. I know some big men that say, I don't believe in experiences. Well, me and you ain't running together, buddy. We won't pull in the same harness. I'm just telling you right now, buddy. When I went down that aisle, nobody prayed with me, Dale Owens. I come out from way back in there. Where old Mr. Thurman Lyons said he was a deacon in the church and about 95 years old, couldn't get out at night. I sat where he sat. When I come out of that pew, I had been struggling with whether I was going to let God try to fix my life or not. It was an awful thing. I said, I'm not going. And this voice inside, I didn't know he was there. Well, I didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. But something inside of me said, you tried everything else. Why don't you try this?
Yeah.
That's not a very good proposition. Y'all probably done wrote me off now. Write me off, buddy. I know somebody didn't write me off. Said, you tried everything else, why don't you try this? I said, all right, buddy. And I've got enough sense to know if you're going to be a bear, you ought to be a grizzly. If you're going to do anything, you ought to do it right. Give him at least a full chance.
Yes, sir.
So I didn't play no games. When I walked out in that aisle, I come down. No altar. Nobody praying with you. None of that. Sit here. I'm going to tell you something, son. The Holy Ghost saved me when I made my mind up to come out of that pew.
Amen.
Say, what'd you pray? I ain't got no idea, but I can tell you what he did. He saved me, buddy. It don't matter what I said. It come out of here. I didn't hold back nothing from him, buddy. I did not hold back anything from him. And if you did, you didn't get saved. Do I have to quit my smoking? Yep, you got to quit. If you named it, you got to quit. Don't even bring it up. You ain't bad enough off to say. When you start that junk, you ain't going to get saved. Just stay on the altar until you're willing to puke it up, buddy. If it's made you sick, gag it up and get it out of your life. Well, a bunch of Kenites are in our members. And they get the joy of watching us worship. It's fun. You know it is. If I was lost, I'd want to sing this. It is amusing. It's satisfying or something. One thing you got to hope for is that somewhere that old Kenite will say, there's something missing in here. My Kenite sitting right back there, 52 years ago, we got married. I don't remember what it was, but she's right up there on the other side of E-Town standing in the yard swing one night. The old Kenite got on my side. She come in and got saved. My own precious wife, the mother of Aaron Gwinnett Dove, got born again at the end of that old trailer on that swing. Lori come around there and said, Daddy, something's wrong with Mama. I said, you can go out there and check, but I don't think it's right. I don't believe there's anything wrong with Mama. She went out there and she said, Daddy, she's standing in the song. Thank you, even though you did it, Totsie. She's standing in that yard swing. Clapping her hands, standing in the yard swing. Clapping her hands. If you don't think that wasn't the Holy Ghost, try running the back of them pews when they ain't tied down. How you stand in a yard swing, clapping your hands, I can't hardly even sit in one. And I'm just telling you tonight, all the Kenites, most of them just went on through never did get changed. They didn't go up to Jerusalem. They didn't offer offerings. They just liked to be among us. And that's a shame. It's a shame that you would sit here today never being saved. You know, Brother Milby, my little church got down to about 20 now. Do you know that a man of God, I can't brag about being a good man of God, but I know who called me to preach. I tell you tonight, I tell you right this minute, if ever a good man of God I know caved in and quit tonight, it wouldn't change me a bit because I didn't get it from there. But I tell you, we have discernment. I don't always have discernment, Miss West. Guffy. I don't always have it. Sometimes I say, where in the world was that discernment here? I had some real fun. And I'm going to tell you what, when the Holy Ghost makes you understand that some of your folks don't have a testimony because they ain't had an experience. They can't testify, they can't sing. They'll sing, and if they got a loud voice, they can sing loud, but I don't mean nothing. If you whisper just two or three words in the Holy Ghost, it'll do something. So it'll never return void. And I said the other night, David Wells preaching, he said, the Holy Ghost has told me for you to close this service. I'm not the pastor anymore. But I love that church now. I love that church. I went up there and stood behind the pulpit. I said, I can go right to about three or four of you in here, probably four of you, and tell you that if you're saved, you have broke all the rules. You have no testimony. Your life shows no testimony. They're not mad at me, Brother Dale. They're my friends, maybe even some I can. And I'm just telling you, no testimony, no joy, no sparkle in their eyes, no relief from nothing. I'm going to tell you guys something. Listen to me. I read a sermon the other day by a German preacher when the Second World War was going on. Here's what he said. You'd think a liberal German preacher couldn't say anything. I don't think he's liberal. He said, the Bible said the Son will make you free, you'll be free indeed. He said, there is no freedom anywhere that can compare to forgiveness. I can pull a gun on you and point it right between your eyes, a shotgun that could not fail to kill you. And if I shot your head off, if you're forgiven, you're freer then than you ever were. I don't care if they put you in a prison, throw away the key. It's what that song says. If you're saved by the grace of God, you can still go free. So if you're a Kenite, now I don't know about you this morning. If I were you, don't you understand? I've been saved 58 years. If I got saved when I was 13, and I believe I did, 58 years ago this July, about the 30th of July, on a Sunday night service, the Holy Ghost birthed me again in the kingdom. And he which began a good work in me that day, never stopped working it, shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, I have got nothing to tell you negative. I don't care about the light bread. I don't care about the bitter water. I don't care about the long journey through the dirt and the dust. It don't bother me. All I know is that there is a land ahead of me that is fairer than day. And by faith I see it afar. The Father waits over the way. I'm telling you today, look, why don't you get in with us? Just look in the mirror a minute and say, you know, there's a boy getting ready that wants to join our church right now. And I told the one that was talking to him, I said, he will have to stand in front of my church and testify how God saved him. But he doesn't have a testimony. He don't want to do that. You know why? He can't do that. So you know what's going to happen, Brother Dale. If he keeps that hungering up, God's going to find a hole into that heart. Remember that old Ipana toothpaste commercial where that stuff went down around that tooth until it found that hole? It's going to find that hole in that heart, buddy. Bring him under conviction. Save him. He's a good boy. Some of you are like that. You know you are. No testimony. When I get out of here, when I get old enough, I'm out of here, buddy. Listen, You just go ahead and find somebody that did get out of here. When it's all said and done and the dust is settled, every one of them will be just like that prodigal son. They'll say, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. That's not all the story, Brother Milley. He said, make me a servant. He said, I'd rather push a broom in the house of God than to sit in the president's seat of E.I. DuPont or any other pont. It's the best life you've ever seen. God will let you make money. That is not sin. It's sin how you make it. But it ain't a sin to be wealthy. God gives you the way to be rich. I'm not trying to drag this out. I'm trying to coach you today to know that this guy right here has given his heart to God. He sits on this front pew every time I come up here. And some of you children have gotten your mind, when I get old enough, I'm out of here. You listen to me, boys?
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That fellow right there said, out of here, nothing. This is where I want to be.
Amen.
You ought to tell you enough right there to tell you in your heart that he's been where you're wanting to go and came back. And I've been where you want to go, and I came back.
Yeah.
And everybody's got any sense always comes back. I like them big drag cars, son. I like to see that rubber twist, and I like to get it see it so smoky you can't even figure out what's coming out of the hole. Watch them lights go down and tree lights come down. I like all that. But I'd throw it all in a trash can to know him.
Yeah.
I've found so much in Jesus Christ that a drag strip don't even get my attention. And I like it. I like it. I like to hunt. But listen, I got enough guns to kill every turkey in Georgia, probably. It don't even bother me no more. Jesus has come to mean so much to me that I don't care about none of that. I don't care to shoot a turkey. It don't bother me a bit, or a deer, or an alligator, or a skunk. It don't matter to me a bit. Nothing to it but him. Get in the car and go down old Conestead Road. Get all that soot blowed out of my stovepipe. Air my mess out to him and say, Lord, I feel so bad. And next thing you know, you feel his hands on you. Little bitty breeze. He always speaks in a still, small voice. It's always a whisper. Say, Lord, is that you? Oh, they don't even ask. That's who it is. He's trying to tell you something. I ask you today. I'm not trying to drag this out. Wouldn't you want him? You watch them boys stand here and sing. I love to watch them boys sing. I hate it these guys got to sit behind them because it's such a sight to watch them sing. I mean, I love it when it's in your heart. I love to watch them boys sing. I like to watch that boy sing and his sister over there, his mama. I like to watch them sing. I watch them cry, break down, start crying. Time or two, I said, wonder why he's crying. I guess mama slapped his hands and hurt his feelings. No, no, me cry for happy is what that old woman said in South Pacific. She said, me cry for happy. The little old girl fell in love with that soldier, said, me cry for happy. Little boy with me back there, I'm not trying to make this long, church. Please don't be upset with me. He comes with us, and he saw us crying the other night at church and shouting and just going on. He buried his little head down beside me. I said, honey, come on, get up here. You don't have to be afraid of this crowd. This is fun. One of these days, God's going to save you, and you're going to do it too. And I start crying. He can't stand it. I said, sonny, I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because I'm happy. You'll have experiences. You know that? They're wonderful. Well, Brother Milby, I'm done. I'm rambling. Come on, you can take over.